Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
What up, what up, what up, and good evening, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Wrestle Talk in the D, right here only on Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, on blogtalkradio.com. So happy to be back with you all tonight to talk about wrestling. I want to take this moment to thank God for giving us the opportunity to run our mouth, to agree or disagree about the latest things in the world of wrestling. And the things of the past in the world of wrestling, we're going to definitely discuss that. But first, there's a double standard going on right now. In life, there's always a double standard. No matter how we want to slice it, no matter how we want to cut it, there's going to be double standards. The reason I'm starting off the show talking about double standards is this, okay? People give WWE, particularly Raw, a hard time because they say it's a horrible show. It's a joke. Raw is cheesy. Raw is creative. It's just bad. You know, I hear that a lot, and I hear that a lot coming from the camp of All Elite Wrestling and other people that's not associated as fans of WWE. I hear that a lot. But last Wednesday night, I decided to watch a main event on AEW Dynamite, and that main event had the Dark Order versus the Elite, I believe. And the Elite, yes, it was Halloween. It was leading up to Halloween. It was a Halloween-themed show. But the Elite came out in the Ghostbusters costume. The moment I saw that, you know, I looked at it as a joke, okay? They looked like a joke. Even the match, for that matter, was a joke. But no one wants to call that segment, or no one wants to call out AEW for being cheesy, for that creative moment being bad, as bad as it was. No one wants to do that, okay? And if I can get my words correctly, I'm realizing we have a double standard, because that main event was just as cheesy as anything you'll see on Monday Night Raw. And I hope we get to the point to where we take the pacifier out of AEW's mouth, or we take the bottle out of AEW's mouth, and we start calling them out for not just for some of the silly things they do. We have to start being able to call them out just like we do WWE. But this is Wrestle Talking to D, not just with myself. We have Wrestle Talking to D with Dominic, Josh, Kayvon, Right now, we're not full strength. Dominic should be calling in shortly. Kayvon should be chiming in shortly. But this is a great surprise. We do have Josh, our other co-host. He's here tonight, surprisingly. I didn't know if you was going to make it tonight, Joshua. What up with you, man?
What's going on, brother?
Oh, no, you stuck with me for the time being, man. Hopefully, I won't destroy this show too much, man.
Hey, we got this.
Yes, I do want to say this. At 6:30, we're going to debut a new segment called Sound Off. There's going to be a gentleman caller, Steven, out of New York. He's going to be calling in. He wants to sound off about The Rock. And after he sound off, we may have a few questions for him. So, Josh, if there's something you want to ask him in that 15-minute segment, feel free to do so.
All right.
I guess we could jump right into it, Josh. Wow, we heard last week that Ring of Honor is shutting down for the moment. They say they're coming back, I think, after April, but Ring of Honor has released all their talent, and they're still going to go on until December, but for the most part, they released all their talent out of their contracts. It's somewhat of a sad situation from this vantage point to see a promotion like Ring of Honor that has birthed out so many great talented wrestlers. It's kind of sad to see them shut down for whatever reasons. I haven't tried to dig to see what are the reasons for them shutting down. Maybe you may know, but it's definitely unfortunate to hear that, man. What did you think of that when you first heard about that?
When I first heard about it, the first thing that came to my head was like, is it a rebranding? Are they becoming like a layup kind of like performance center for another federation or something like that? But the most important thing that came to my mind was the lineage that comes from Ring of Honor. You have some of the greatest talent out there right now that have performed in Ring of Honor. And now the wrestlers who have been let go, it's going to be quite interesting to see where some of them go. As a matter of fact, one of my exclusives later is about one of those wrestlers. But let's just hope that this is not going to become a defunct federation and that they do come back.
Yep. I completely stand with you on that. I don't, because many people are ready to just put the nail in the coffin with them. Like, I read on Facebook, so many people are saying they're not coming back. I think they are coming back, but it'd just be a different version of it. Like I said, I don't know what version will come from this, but there will be a new version of NXT. I mean, not NXT, but Ring of Honor. It'd be nice if they go back to their old roots. You know, I think over the last few years, they tried to be what Impact is, be what AEW is, be what WWE is. I'm not saying that it didn't work, but it'd be nice for them to go back to be that top mainstream indie promotion that it started off being way back in 2000. I would like to see them do that. But you may know more about Ring of Honor than I do. You know, I really didn't watch it up until the last few years, and I always go back and watch old clippings of matches, but I didn't really watch it when it first birthed out, so you may know a little bit more about it than I do, but they got a lot of talented people on their roster, and it's interesting to see where they're going to land up. I know WWE has came out and said that they don't want the Ring of Honor talent, but it's going to be interesting to see where these people land.
Oh, yeah. One of the rumors going around, I'll give my first exclusive now, if that's okay.
Go for it.
One of the rumors going around is that AEW has already signed several Ring of Honor wrestlers, one of them being, to me, one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time in this generation, and that's Jay Lethal.
Oh.
They were... rumor has he's already signed the dotted line, and that they have a big, big thing waiting for him in AEW. But only time will tell.
Definitely. You know, I love me some Jay Lethal. Like, he's always try my best not to use this phrase too much, but Jay Lethal, he's must-see TV. Like, when I think about Jay Lethal, I think about all the stuff he did when he was at TNA. You know?
And, oh, yeah.
And for the life of me, I never understood why WWE didn't want him, you know, or didn't try to get him, because, like, Jay Lethal is that deal. He's a heck of a wrestler. And don't let him get on that mic, you know, and use the charisma that he has. It's over. So kudos to AEW for pulling that trigger. You know, that's a smart move for them to grab somebody like a Lethal.
Yeah. I know that some of the WWE talent have been pulling for Jay Lethal to be signed there. But Vince McMahon's on this, and you know I don't hold back, so here goes a small rant. Vince McMahon, again, has his head so far up his own pooper that he's smelling what he cooked 10 days ago.
Yep.
And he's, let's not get the independence. That's what he's saying. Where do all these wrestlers come from? Because, in fact, OVW, when it was the Performance Center for WWE, was, in fact, independent, and they went back to independent. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, way back then, was an independent, and they worked with WWE. That's where they got a lot of the homegrown talent. So the thing is when he says, let's not get independent wrestlers, well, then he's literally kicking himself in his own butt, because you're blocking the fans from seeing some of the dream matches. Who would not love to see Jay Lethal versus Seth Rollins?
Right.
That's a good match. You know, but, I mean, when it comes to WWE, the management sometimes just doesn't get it. That's just my opinion, and I love WWE. We all know this.
Yeah. You know,
just,
I look at a lot of things, you know, and I, like, people call me in WWE apologists, and people say I'm in denial about them sometimes. I don't always agree with everything they do. And Josh, you know, I'm right there with you, because Vince McMahon, he's out of his mind when it comes to stuff like this. Like, indie or not, like, these are talented people that you can have on your roster that can help bolster your roster, that can help bring more eyes to your program. Not that you need more eyes because you're WWE, but it will help. You know, like, Jay Lethal signing him should be a no-brainer. I think about stuff like, and this has nothing to do with the Ring of Honor people, but I think about WWE not capitalizing on the opportunity to have Sting versus The Undertaker. I'm still scratching my head. You had years to put this match together. Whether it was going to be a 5-minute match or a 30-minute match, you had years to put this historic match together, that both guys, from what I've read, wanted this match, Sting and The Undertaker. So it's stuff like that that I have to scratch my head on. Why didn't you pull the trigger on that? And it's other things that they have done that I just don't understand. You know, I just don't get it. And Vince can be stubborn. He can be stuck in his own ways sometimes. And sometimes that's not good at all. Man.
It's just crazy.
Yep. If you're listening, you ever want to call in, you can call at 646-668-8672. It's been a while since I had to do this much talking, so bear with me, Brother Josh. You brought up Seth Rollins, man, and this is something that I wanted to talk about, because I think I don't know who made this quote, but I don't know if it was Booker T, but it was a quote that said, Seth Rollins is the first ballot Hall of Famer. Seth Rollins.
That was indeed Booker T.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, Booker T said Seth Rollins is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I agree with Booker T. I think Seth Rollins is possibly in my top 20 of all time in terms of WWE performance. Seth Rollins is that good. He's a multiple-time champion. He's a decorated champion. You know, he's a fantastic ring worker. You know, I think he's semi-good at promos. What he's doing right now is phenomenal. Like, The character that he's playing right now is sensational. I'm loving this Seth Rollins. You know, I was a big fan of the Authority Seth Rollins, and I didn't think nothing could trump that. But this latest installment of Seth Rollins is definitely adding more legs to his career and to his legacy. And I think, Seth Rollins, you put him up against anybody, he can hang in there any day of the week. You know, put him up against Shawn Michaels, he can hang with him. Put him up against Bret Hart, he can hang with him. Undertaker, Stone Cold, The Rock, AJ Styles, whoever you want to put him up against, Seth Rollins is that deal.
Seth Rollins, in my opinion, I will say he is indeed a future Hall of Famer. And I can only wish that when he does go into the Hall of Fame, he is the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has, in my opinion, solidified over his tenure in the WWE and what he did in Ring of Honor and everything else. His whole career has been pretty much nonstop and go all the way. Even when he was injured, he still was out there promoting the WWE, doing what he could for the WWE. And to me, that makes him a marquee player, a marquee employee, and a stand-up man. So he is indeed, in my opinion, a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think he will, as long as Roman is around, do you think he will always be that number two? Because many people for a while, they would have said before Roman made this heel turn and people started loving him and this and that. Speaking of Roman, I do got a question to ask you a little bit later if I can remember. But just to stay right here, do you think Seth Rollins will always be that number two to Roman Reigns?
I'll say this. If they're on the same brand, he will always be that number two. But
okay. If
they're not, then for SmackDown, I will say Roman Reigns is their number one. And for Raw, Seth Rollins is their number one. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that they're both in the same company. But if you really look at it, when they were both on SmackDown fairly recently to the draft, they were pushing Roman Reigns so hard and the bloodline so hard that they were, to me, it kind of seemed like they were digging for stories to put Seth Rollins in. And that wasn't fair to Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they moved him over to Raw. So then the story can be, let's build this around Seth Rollins as the main heel. Because with AJ Lee being on Raw and in the tag team division, that kind of separates him from being a singles competitor, which, by the way, AJ is out for a small stint. Not medical issues, just other issues. But Seth Rollins should never be put in a position to where he is a number two, in my opinion.
Josh, I agree with you, bro. I agree with you 100%. And that was a smart move, you know, because unfortunately, as long as he was going to stay on SmackDown, he was going to be the number two to Roman Reigns, and he's that big time enough to be 1A to Roman Reigns, 1A. Now, it's interesting. They got Seth Rollins. At some point, he's going to go up against Big E for that championship. I don't know if that's going to happen before Survivor Series. Part of me is starting to think that they may want Seth Rollins versus Roman at Survivor Series, which means Big E will have to drop that title in the next few weeks before the 21st of November. Would that be a right move, Josh, if Big E lose to Seth Rollins? Is that the right move to have Seth versus Roman at Survivor Series? Because I'm kind of okay with it, and I'm kind of not okay with it, because it seemed like Big E just got the belt. You know, I wouldn't want him to keep it for a while, but at the same time, Rollins versus Reigns is pretty sexy. The matchup is sexy. So how do you assess the potential of Rollins being the champion that faces Roman at Survivor Series?
I will say that Seth versus Roman in any way, on any match, in any pay-per-view, any TV show, you're guaranteed golden ticket money like Willy Wonka. But I think taking the title off of Big E right now is the absolute wrong thing to do, because he's not even peaked yet. He's on the rise to his peak as being champion. I mean, he just got drafted to Raw. There's so many different matches you can set up. But the thing is I would rather see Seth Rollins versus Big E at the Royal Rumble. For the simple fact, because then you give Seth Rollins the title, and whoever wins the Royal Rumble, an underdog, a newcomer, I mean, you never know, decides to go against Seth Rollins. That, to me, you build toward a WrestleMania match that can headline the first or the second night of WrestleMania, because you know that Roman Reigns is going to headline one of them. So why not showcase both Seth and Roman as the main eventers of both nights of WrestleMania, so then they're on par to each other. Let them hold the titles until next Survivor Series and then feud. So then you got that year-long feud and tease of, I'm going to go for this, I'm going to do this. That, right. To me, if you build it properly, it's like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah, you're on the money tonight, Josh, man. You're shooting threes like Steph Curry, bro. You are.
Just as long as I'm not shooting threes like Shaquille O'Neal.
You know what's so funny? I'm trying not to go off script because I know we had a production meeting yesterday in our group chat. But now you got my juices flowing for Royal Rumble. You got my mind going now, and I want to focus on Roman Reigns real quick. We're going to get back to what we were going to talk about today. But I'm liking what I'm seeing out of my boy Drew McIntyre. Like, I am reinvested in Drew McIntyre. There was a period of time that Drew McIntyre, I got a little bored with him. Not saying I didn't like him anymore, but I got a little bored with him. But now what they're doing with him on SmackDown is like they're getting ready to push him to something. But what is that? You know, are they pushing him to win the Royal Rumble again? Are they pushing him to take on Roman Reigns before WrestleMania? Are they pushing him to be the opponent for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? I don't know. But I definitely don't. I don't want to see a Roman versus McIntyre this early. I would like to see them carry it on. I mean, I'd like to see them do it in a few months, possibly at a WrestleMania. So there's so many different scenarios that we can talk about in terms of McIntyre and Roman, because we do know they're going to fight at some point. We do know that. That's another sexy match, McIntyre versus Roman Reigns. But have you seen what I've seen, the rise of McIntyre again? And if so, what do you think about the potential of him and Roman going up against each other for that belt?
When Drew McIntyre won the title from Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, it was so, I might get, criticized for this, but it was so generic because it wasn't a proper WrestleMania.
Yes.
And then you saw him pretty much just go through every single challenger he had. Then he had to lose it. Then he got it. And I'm like, I get it. So at that point, after, in the middle of this year, I kind of started losing track of him. It was like, it's another Drew match. He's going to squash whoever he's in. But now the way they're doing him is it's like they reinvested their time and effort in repackaging him, but only repackaging him in the same way as how he was, which to me is like, golden. I mean,
yes.
Roman Reigns and him, again, big time draw. That would be a good headliner for the Royal Rumble. Because if you put Drew McIntyre back in the Royal Rumble, people are going to be like, they're going to expect him to be one of the top players in the Rumble and possibly win it. I think have Roman Reigns and Drew at Royal Rumble. So that way you have someone fresh winning the Royal Rumble. And then you have the match that has either pushed Drew to want to continue being good, or you turn him heel and have him go for any other title that's on SmackDown. But then when you do that, you kind of diminish his rise, because then you're taking him out of the title picture again. And it's like, to me, Royal Rumble would be the perfect time to have that match.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. I think he's due for a heel turn. I thought that's what they were going to do when they brought him to SmackDown, because I think he had got stale a little bit being a good guy. But this new baby, I mean, he's been a baby face, but I don't know if I want to call it a new version of his baby face. But the new version of him being a baby face, I'm liking it. So I don't want him to be a heel now. But at the same time, I feel like he's due to be one, because it's been a while since he's been one. I personally would like to see it at WrestleMania. But here's the kicker. Brock Lesnar still has to come back and get some retribution on Roman Reigns. And we got 5 minutes before our guests come on. Is there a scenario out there where we get a triple threat, where we get a Lesnar versus McIntyre versus Roman? Is that a possibility? Because remember, after the Royal Rumble, the next pay-per-view is WrestleMania. So once the Royal Rumble is over with, like, matches are going to, like, at least the championship matches should be kind of edged in stone. You know, I think I'm all over the place right now, but is it a possibility we can see that triple threat match? Do you think it's a possibility?
In professional wrestling, they say anything can happen. But in my personal opinion, if you want that triple threat, you should have the triple threat at WrestleMania. And in order for the triple threat to happen, have Brock Lesnar get eliminated from the Rumble. Have him come in and interfere during the match. That way you do set up the triple threat.
Right.
And you move on to WrestleMania, and then you have a full month and a half to build this story. You know, you got the Tribal Chief, you got the Beast Incarnate, then you got Drew McIntyre. You got all these people and be doing phenomenal. But it's got to do with the build. So, yes, there is a possibility. But is the possibility going to become a reality? If Vince McMahon has anything to do with it, probably not.
Right. Good point. Dom is in the house. Dom is back. What's up, Dom?
Dom on the bus. What's going on?
Ah, yes, sir. We're just getting into some Roman versus McIntyre talk, and we got 2 minutes before we bring our guests on. Do you want to see a McIntyre versus Roman? If so, at what point? Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, or something before the pay-per-view before the Royal Rumble?
I would say Royal Rumble. I would like to see a triple threat. This is my booking. I would like to see Roman versus McIntyre versus Lesnar. Just to show, you know, just to continue Roman's dominance and his hope. You pile him and stack him, and he's going to defeat him.
Right. Yes, sir. But And this could be a perfect segue, because we're going to bring our guest in right now, but 30 seconds. Just take 30 seconds to answer this, but what about The Rock? Where does The Rock lie in all this? Like, because I still have reservations that The Rock will take on Roman at WrestleMania. I don't know why I have these reservations.
We when what? He comes and say out his mouth that he's back, we will see. Right now, it don't look like he's coming back no time. Appearance, when he appears, we'll see.
Well, he got to come back, unless this whole Tribal Chief gimmick will be for nothing, because this whole Tribal Chief gimmick is somewhere along the line supposed to set up something with The Rock. That's just my opinion on it. So hopefully he's coming.
And that's why I said to pile them and stack them. Add McIntyre, add Lesnar. You can somehow get Sheamus one more go round. You know, just feed them the roster. I like it. I know that's
all
right back, but get. Yeah.
That's what's up. All right, we want to shift gears right now. It's been a long time since we had a guest on this show. We used to have guests on this show all the time, pretty much every week. But this is a unique guest. We want to debut this segment tonight called Sound Off. So we want to bring people on that have strong opinions about strong topics, okay? And I've had a chance to, on Facebook, I came across this post that we're going to call him Caller Steven. I don't want to put his whole government name out there. But Caller Steven made a post about The Rock, and it just knocked my socks off because I don't think a lot of people will have made that post. Like, I respected that he was gutsy enough to make the post about The Rock. We're going to bring him on, and he's going to discuss that post, and then we can ask him some questions if you guys want to. But I always say this, nobody has to accept your invitation, okay? Nobody has to. It could be an invitation to a birthday party, graduation, church, whatever. Nobody has to accept your invitation. So we appreciate Caller Steven accepting this invitation. So right now we're going to debut our segment called Sound Off. We're going to welcome Caller Steven. We're going to take you off mute, Steve. Welcome to Wrestle Talk in the D from Detroit. What's up, Steve?
What's up, man? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. This is Martez talking. We got Dominic and Josh. They're on the show as well. They're the other host of the show. Now, we wanted to give you this opportunity because I found your post to be like, I got to give you some love for that post. But could you explain the post you made and why you made it about The Rock?
Okay, I'll tell you a little story first before I get to it. When I was a kid, I looked up to The Rock. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and I live in Pittsburgh now, but growing up in Chicago, pro wrestling, I was always that weird kid that watched wrestling, and I still do too to this day. And when I used to watch WWF back in the day, I looked up to people who looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
Rock, D'Lo Brown, Godfather when he was out, Odd Man Johnson, Booker T and WCW, all those names. I look up to them because they look like me.
Right.
Me, I didn't know Rock was Samoan until half Samoan until later in life. And I was like, oh, wow. I didn't know that. But to me, he looked like a black guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you even think about it, when WWE does Black History Month, you know the Rock's there, right? He's in the picture. He's in the background. So I'm sorry. Rock hasn't been black since 98. I'm sorry. I said it.
Damn.
She hasn't been black since 98. Because let me tell you something. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real here. I get it. I love Rock to this day. I love his hustle. Am I a fan of him like I used to be? No. But I love his mindset now, how he is now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, let me ask y'all all a quick question off the Rock topic. Name one African-American wrestler that's been on black media. Name one.
Ooh.
Oh, wait a minute. Big E.
Other than Big E, name one other person.
I can't think of one.
Exactly. Exactly, man. Because it's like us black folks, you know, we all love Rock to death because we still somewhat see him as one of us. But he doesn't show nothing of it.
Nothing.
Bro, Roman, you might as well give your black card to Roman Reigns. I've seen more of Roman Reigns do more things for black people than The Rock has. I'm sorry, I said it.
Yep.
Damn.
Like, I've never even heard
Roman Reigns do charities for black people. He's been on black media left and right.
Yeah.
Rock hasn't done that one time. The only black thing I ever saw him do is talk to Trump about the riot stuff. And I know everybody saw that video.
And Steve, I don't know if the other guys got questions, but I got one question for you. Do you think The Rock, even Tiger Woods for that matter, because he never really came out and celebrated his blackness, do you think there's a level of being ashamed to be associated with being black when you at a certain level?
I don't know.
Okay.
To me, in a way, and I'm sorry if it is this, if he doesn't feel welcomed by us, then that is our fault.
Okay.
But you know, if you ask any black person out there that knows Dwayne Johnson, you know we would cheer for that man.
Yep.
Even on the news, they don't say the Samoan actor Dwayne Johnson. They say the African-American actor Dwayne Johnson. It's like he's trying to erase your daddy. Like, don't forget your daddy's black, bruh. You showed so much pride of your grandfather this and this and this and this and this. Yeah. Like, bruh, we know your daddy's Rocky Johnson, bruh. My dad used to talk about Rocky Johnson back in the day when he was watching wrestling back in the day in the Army.
Yeah.
Come on, bruh. Like, show something, my boy. Something. Roman Reigns is more blacker than you, and that boy's light-skinned. Come
Should
on, man.
Should have Usos for that matter.
Usos, yeah, they well, Usos are going to be have to do something too. Or they actually going to get left out of the barbecue. Yeah, they're married to two black women, both of them, and their little brother that's in NXT married to a black woman.
Yep, yes,
yeah.
Sir. This is
you better do something
segment.
Quick, or y'all ain't going to be invited to the cookout.
Yep.
Y'all be on the other side of the fence, like, ooh, is that food over there? That's ribs. Like, nah, you going to stay on the other side of that fence, homeboy?
Right.
Watch from afar, bro. That's all it is. It's like, show something, man. Like, literally. Because you can help. Even if it's black media or something, show help. Because you know us black folks love that man to death. Show it. Don't be on the hush-hush, low-low. Show it.
Yeah.
Even Kanye West is crazy, and we still love him. Come on now.
Dominic or Josh, you got any questions for Steve? You're welcome to chime in. I'm gonna step back for a bit if you guys want to ask Steve some questions about The Rock or about anything wrestling related.
Hey, it's not a question. I understand where you're coming from, Josh. I mean, little Steve. Excuse me. That's a topic I do at times question. Like, yeah, The Rock at times he knows when to be a part of this side. I understand when you're mixed, and Steve, let you know I am mixed too. I could have said myself half black, half brown, half red, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But he really, you know, I truly get what you're coming from with this whole sound off segment, man.
Mm-hmm. It's like, bruh, even in the Tech N9ne song, he's speaking Samoan, like some bruh. I know y'all saw that music video.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, bruh.
As,
y'all can't
as
tell me nothing, dog.
Wrestling rapper.
Yeah.
I hated him in the song with Wyclef Jean back in the day. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now
you want
to do another one.
Yeah, because to me, Will Smith and Dwayne Johnson are the elite when it comes to black folks. The Will Smith show, but it's like he's up there. Can you tell me if I'm lying? The only thing that's wrong with Will Smith is Jada Pinkett Smith is fucking up his everything. I feel bad for that man. Like, come on, man. Show some pride in it, man. Quit talking about your daddy just for like a little hair and then like, I get it. It's like, but still, dog, like, you got your cousins. I get it, but fam, come on, man. It's embarrassing a little bit. I get it. Maybe he don't have, I don't know if he's in relationships with his daddy's side. I don't know that. We all don't know that. But it's like, dog, you got to show effort, too, at the same time, bro. And I don't see it. I don't see it one bit. It's like he's making, in a way, I'm going to say this now. I think Kevin Hart's his black card.
Ooh.
Yep, I said it. I am not holding back shit. Kevin Hart's his black card. Like, I'll be in this movie with Kevin. Y'all show up. Nah, bruh. Nah, bruh. Come on, bruh. You got to do better than that. And I love the man to death. Like I said, I love The Rock to death, but it's like, bro, you got to show it. And it's like,
even my biracial friends, I got friends that are half black and Puerto Rican, half black and Mexican, and they show pride on both sides. So it's like, come on, bro. At least
right.
It's not that hard, bro. It's not really that hard. I don't know if we maybe don't show him love, I guess. I don't know, but it's like, dude, do something. Because the Nation of Domination ain't good enough for me.
I'll say this. I'll say when you are of mixed race and you're in pop culture, and I 100% agree with you. Trust me on that when I say that. But when you're in pop culture, and whether it be movies or sports or wrestling or anything, and you're perceived by not who you are, but your lineage, and then they lean on one part of the lineage, they kind of pigeonhole everybody into that. So that's what you have become comfortable with. Now, I get what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. You should represent everything. But on the same hand, you can't blame them. You can blame the way they were brought into the industry on any way they go. Because, I mean, when he was doing that Tech N9ne song, you're right. He sounded like he was just doing another, you know, Hawaiian way of talking and singing and everything. And to me, it's more along the lines of, if you want to represent who you are, you do have to represent every culture that you're involved with, whether it be Indian, black, white, doesn't matter. The fact is you're not being true to who you are because you were perceived a certain way. And to me, it's more along the lines they're afraid of losing their fan base if they start doing that. But they don't realize that the other part of the fan base may want them to do that. So they're kind of juggling the way they are being perceived, and sometimes they don't make the right decisions. But I do agree with you. No matter what, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. I do understand
but
that, and I respect that. I respect that opinion, and I do understand that. Don't get me wrong, because, yeah, if you think about it, it's like when he first came in as Rocky Maivia, it was Samoan, and I get it. And then it's like, okay, he did the Nation, and I get that and all that. But it's like, dude, how long you been out of, even though he's been in and out of wrestling, how long you been out of wrestling? You could at least done a few. It's like, even if it's media for a little bit, it doesn't have to be all the time. It has to be strictly. Every now and then, go to the Breakfast Club. Every now and then, go to Ebro in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. Or Steve Harvey in the morning, every now and then, here and there. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you don't have to be consistent with it, but it show that you show us love. That's really pretty much what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Show
us
a little bit.
Yep. Now, see,
I'll be on his team all day, every day. But it's like, bro, you got to show it a little bit. To start, don't wait till you get old, and then it's like, dude, you're too late, bro. Don't get me started on one thing I want to say, but I don't want to say it to be disrespectful. But I could if I want to, but I'm not going to do that.
Please,
John Cena's more black than The Rock, goddamn it. You know that boy's pale as hell, but yeah. Come on, man.
Let's say it like this. So he did that movie Moana, and the only reason I know about that movie is because my wife, she forced me to watch that damn movie. But anyhow,
my niece made me go take her. Trust me, I know how to feel.
He did that movie, but then he was like a 5-second cameo in one of the Tyler Perry movies, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, why couldn't you be in the whole Tyler Perry movie? And everyone's like, oh, he was too busy doing this and doing that. That's bullshit.
True.
He could have been in that movie, but he chose not to and only make a cameo. That was his choice. But yet he's going to go push, like I was saying earlier, he's going to push more on the Samoan side. I'm sitting there thinking, like, all right, to me, I get what you're saying, and it's wrong. But, I mean, I guess he's feeding into his fan base, and sometimes he just feeds into it the wrong way. Because you're right. Kevin Hart is his, you know, everything that he's not, pretty much, other than being 6 foot, 200 pounds. But, you know.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying, dude. Just show it a little more. That's it. It's not. I'm not expecting to leave is what he does now. It's just like, show us a little love. That's all it is. We'll take whatever you can give us. We'll take it. All right. Just show it a little bit. That's all. Quit being all hush-hush about it and stuff like that. Like, I want to see Will be a star for me. I want to see Rock be in a black movie. I want his wife to be black, and I want his kids to be black. That's what I want. Show me. That'd be a start. Show me that.
Yes,
but are we going to ever get that? You know.
Because you will never get that.
Exactly. Why not?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, dude, just, it's like, damn, you hate your black race so bad or something? Like, damn, you hate us that bad, bro? Even though we love you to death? Come on, man. Stop it. That's why I like the more modern day wrestlers than the older, and I'm an Attitude Era kid. You know what I'm saying? But it's like Godfather, the one wrestler I actually met in person is actually the nicest person on the face of this planet, I swear to God, and it was the Boogeyman.
That dude is cool.
Yep.
Nicest guy on the planet.
Yep.
It's like, I said, like, I don't know. This man.
Yeah.
Even Seth Rollins went to black media. Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Now, we got a few more minutes to go within this debut segment. Sound off. This is Russell talking to D with Dominic, Josh, and Martez. We're talking to I'm going to call you Caller. We're calling you Caller Steve. We don't want to give your real name out there. Caller Steve.
Good, man.
Cool. All right. You sounding off today. Just we got a couple more minutes, but I do want to ask you this. I know we touched on this on the back end in private conversations before you came onto the show yesterday. Why are people so sensitive when someone, because I know your post was taken down. I think you posted it over
at
the Jabberteers group. And they've been on this show before, and I'm not taking any shots at them, but I mean, obviously they didn't approve of your posts. Do you think we live in too much of a sensitive society?
Way too much. Way too much, man. Because think about it. When we were growing up, remember when we used to say stuff to each other?
Yeah.
The things we said to each other? I don't know about y'all. I'm 33 years old. But the things I used to say to my friends, they used to be funny. Can't say that. It hurts my feelings. Man, if you don't go do some push-ups. Seriously. I'm going to be brutally honest. I'm going to say this real quick, man. If I ever ran for president of the United States, you know what my slogan would be? Get America our balls back, because I guess we lost it.
Wow. That's real tough.
Can't whoop your kids. I remember getting home. I had to be home before the lights came on, the street lights came on, or you got your butt worked. Too many people are too many sensitive. And I got a gay nephew and a gay cousin, and I love them to death. And I ask them questions on the LG. I'm not saying the whole thing. The alphabet people. let's keep it real. Like, we're too sensitive to stuff nowadays. Way too sensitive. You can't say that. You can't say this. You can't. I'm telling you, it's going to go after the music next. I'm dead serious. Even though it don't show like it is now, but I guarantee it in the future, when we're old, bet you the music will be different.
Yep.
Because of
what?
We became some this country's became wussies, man. Like, I bet you other countries are laughing at us, bro. I mean, this is the land of the free, but it don't look free to me.
Yep. We are definitely weak right now.
It'll never be a land of the free. It'll never be a land of the free when we got to pay taxes, when we got to pay to help the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor. We bust our ass off. We get screwed in every single turn. I mean, gas prices are so high right now that people are not able to
do
the work.
Gas over here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is $3.55.
Ooh, I ain't going to complain.
Right.
Gas price is $3.55 over here, and that's regular.
Yep.
You don't want no premium.
We want to wrap this segment up. We wanted to give it 20 minutes. We want to thank you for coming on, Brother Steve. We appreciate you taking time to come on. This has been a big hit.
I'm just saying, man. Rock, man, show support to your black folks, man. We love you to death, bruh. Trust me. We will love you to death. We will go to war with you. You just got to show it.
Definitely. Got to
show it, dog.
Yeah. But we'll reach out to you. We'll bring you back on soon if you want to accept the invitation again. We want to thank
you
for calling
in. I love talking wrestling, man. Yeah. I got friends out here don't talk. My friends are wifed up and kids. I can't talk wrestling with nobody. So I'm down to talk about every subject. And, oh, yeah, from that caller, before you hang up, that caller, Sheamus' career died a long time ago. Stop it. He ain't never coming back, bro. His career died. He's mid-card, bro. His career died a long time ago. If anyone that should give a push, Cesaro. Sorry. That's my boy. That is my boy. My boy.
Yeah.
Cesaro.
I don't know why they don't give Cesaro a push.
Oh, you probably talking about my dude. Yeah, I give you that one. I give you two. I would just name somebody.
I know, but you should put Cesaro, man. That's the only him and Brock. I'd die for that match right there.
That's
him and Brock. That's my dream match right there. But all right, y'all. I'll let y'all go do y'all thing. I appreciate you guys inviting me on this show. And
right.
I hope you guys stay good and blessed, man.
You too. You got the number. We're here every Tuesday for the most part, so don't be a stranger. If you want to call in. Yep, don't be a stranger.
Oh, I'll be up in there, boy. I'll be the controversy dude. I don't care if they don't like me, but you're going to respect me.
I love
me.
It. That's my job.
All right, y'all. I'll see y'all later.
All right. Have a good night. Wow, that was a great segment to kick off. What did you guys think about that, man? I enjoyed him.
Hey, same here. I truly enjoyed him, man. He was on point. He didn't hold nothing back. He was, in the words of Bernie Mac, said with the check. And he talked what he said he was gonna talk, and he backed it up. And you know, hey man, it's just to get these callers, man. It's good. You know, we came a long way. You know, you remember Marquez? We always, when we started, got callers. We got hecklers, and you know, just people trying to troll, bro. So,
yep. Absolutely.
You know, it's good. We coming a long way, it's my brother.
Yep. Can't forget that. And we going to another level. Thanks for bringing Josh. Unfortunately, Kayvon, something may have came up. He hasn't chimed into the show yet. So we are going to cancel the Big Four plus one. But I guess we can go along with the show. I know, Josh, you brought up the fact that you wanted to talk about contracts expiring.
Yes.
Did you want to kick that off and then we add to it?
Oh, yeah. So the first person I want to talk about is Kevin Owens. Now, he's been dropping his own little bombs 3 months, 3 years. He's on his way out. So what WWE is doing is what they do with everybody when their contract's about to come up until they re-sign. They are burying him. Sami Zayn's contract is coming up. Literally, both of them have been in constant communication with people from AEW. No other federation, just AEW. And now they are talking that it's a done deal for Kevin Owens because he has literally volunteered to go on the Elite, whatever YouTube channel they have. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, WWE wants to succeed. They want to win the war, but yet they're letting their soldiers either go to the other side or just throwing them away. And the contracts...
Josh,
the contracts really...
Josh, if I could tell you right quick, I don't want to lose your train of thought. I think they're really trying to say they didn't have faith. Really trying to say they didn't really have faith in Kevin Hart. They don't feel like he can sell tickets, put butts in seats, and be box office. So back to, like you said, they're just going to bury him. That one is not going to phase him.
But see, that's just Vince McMahon's thinking. Because Vince McMahon thinks, okay, Kevin Owens ain't going to be able to draw the money that, say, a Seth Rollins or an AJ Styles can draw. But here's the problem. At some point, he had to have had some kind of faith in him because he let him have a six-month reign as the world champion. And, yeah, Chris Jericho was by his side to help him with that. But on the same hand, it's like, you build these people up. His first match on the main roster, he beat their top guy, which was John Cena at the time. And everyone was like, oh, this NXT guy is going to come up and he's going to lose instantly. But if you look at it, Kevin Owens has beaten every single top star that is in the WWE right now. He's beaten them all, whether it be by hook or by crook. My thing is, with contracts, they will always come and go. But if you have a guaranteed money seller, and trust me, Kevin Owens has his fan base, and I mean the audience always pops when he comes out, whether he's good or bad. Give him the contract he deserves, and he'll stay. But they don't want to do that because they want to give the contract, the big contracts, to the people that literally have already established themselves.
Right.
You know, you got the contract coming up right now. You got, like I said, just the two that I named, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Both phenomenal wrestlers. Both can hang with just about anybody in there outside of Brock Lesnar. And my thing is at the end of the day, you want to throw them away, but yet I'm not a big fan of this guy I'm about to talk to. They just signed Austin Theory to a four-year contract, and he's making what Shawn Michaels, all them were making when they were part of the Rockers, and I'm like, that's big money. Because, I mean, Austin Theory's not really that great of a wrestler.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Vince is, in a way, and I'm not saying it as I'm truly a Vince guy, but Vince is going back to his old ways. He didn't pretty much let it be known. I didn't let everybody did it their way. Now I'm doing it back to my old-fashioned way. He feel like everybody that he kind of sat back and let control is the reason why they're not succeeding. And so for us with everything, marketing, you know, promoting, developing, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what I'm saying. He's out of the way, the old format. Vince, like, muscular, big, tall guys. So he's going to, right now, if he see one that got the attitude he likes, he's going to invest in it. Like, for instance, Austin Theory. I don't know. What I really did love, I am a Kevin Owens fan. Because me and him is like the same weight and height. That's what I love about him. He has that fighter mentality. That I love that whole slogan, fight, Owens, fight. And I really, if you ask me, Dom, who is a wrestler, Monday wrestler today, you can really monitor yourself. It's Alpha, I'm going to say him and Samoa Joe. Those two. So, I mean, it's sad and it's sickening. Jackson, I'm not disagreeing with you that Vince is back is doing this. So, just hopefully, I mean, I hopefully they can find, reach an agreement to keep Kevin Owens. But it doesn't look like it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about his contract for a minute. So, the contract that he has right now is guaranteed money for at least the next 3 months. Now, all Kevin Owens is asking for in return to actually stay is a little bump in pay and part of the percentage of what his, his royalties on his figures and clothes and stuff like that. He's not asking for what people in the AEW are making. I mean, the thing is his contract, he's not asking for a lot. It's coming up in 3 months. Should he stay or should he go? That's the question he's asking right now. And Vince McMahon's saying, well, I'm not willing to budge to give you this. So that's why he has not even tried to sign the contract, because you're going to bury this man. You're not going to give him any kind of incentive to stay. You're going to let his contract expire. Then he's going to go make probably double or triple what he's making now over in AEW. And why? Because Vince McMahon has his head up his ass. And I love WWE. Mm-hmm. But the man's concept, let's take the Attitude Era for a minute. How many big guys did they have in WWE in the Attitude Era? Big muscular guys. I can name three right now, and that's it. Undertaker, Kane, and the Big Show. Everybody else in sizes compared to them were small. Stone Cold had a beer belly, and he was their number one person in the Attitude Era. But see, Vince McMahon, in his mindset, is like, contracts, they come and go, just like these wrestlers. So you want to build around Roman Reigns? Cool, you build around Roman Reigns. You want to build around Seth Rollins and Big E and all these other people? Cool, but you're leaving behind such great talent because you want to let their contracts run out. I mean, plain and simple, Braun Strowman. And I've talked to this man face-to-face when I was at Motor City Comic Con. Braun Strowman has literally said, and I quote, the door is a revolving door, but the door closes if Vince McMahon loses faith in you and doesn't agree to your contract. Braun Strowman had a guaranteed contract of $1 million a year, or $1 million. You get what I'm saying. $1 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
He let him go because he thought Braun Strowman didn't live up to the amount of the contract. Okay, so you're going to get rid of him because of the amount of the contract when you know good damn well this man can hang with anybody that's in the WWE. I mean, he's a professional strongman, for crying out loud. And he took a stiff knee or punch from Brock Lesnar, who is a legitimate fighter in the UFC. He took a stiff hit and continued the match. Name one person that's under contract right now in WWE that can do that. I don't think anybody can.
I mean,
but contract expiring. Yeah, but contract expiring soon. I mean, you got Dana Brooke, who just signed a new contract, but they're talking about letting her go and buying out her contract. Kevin Owens' contract is expiring. Sami Zayn's contract is expiring. And unbeknownst to some people, Randy Orton's contract actually expired, and he was working on a per-day basis until fairly recently. And when he re-signed his contract, he put it to where he can literally leave in a year if he wants to. So, I mean, with these contracts expiring, and it's not just in WWE. It's everywhere. I mean, Impact has people whose contracts are expiring. Impact literally has 17 wrestlers under contract right now that their contracts expire before the end of the year. Rosemary being one of them, who I think would be great in WWE, by the way. You know, but, I mean, why are they really letting these contracts expire? Is it because of money? Or is it because they don't see their worth? I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, it's 50-50. It's a little bit of money setback, and then they kind of do what Jim Cornette said, the secret they told. They say a name and kind of hold a candle to it, or a pitch, you know, pitch it to, you know, from profs like so-and-so headline WrestleMania, so-and-so going against The Undertaker. So, you know, I think that's what they're really doing. They're really doing that. And then, yeah, with this pandemic, yeah, everybody, I don't, I know the sales of merchandise and ratings is down or is not as what he wants to be, but I don't believe Vince McMahon really lost money like that for him to you know, want to say it's due to budget cuts and let a lot of these wrestlers go throughout these past 2 years. And you know, Braun Strowman being in particular one, it's just Vince being Mr. Scrooge. he really got to come off his high horse, the high hat with.
Before you finish, Josh, we have Kayvon here now. So let us get to the Big Four plus four, and then we get back to you, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is, of course, the Tribal Chief, Kayvon Journey, and I am here to bring to you the Big Four plus one. Number one on the list, we have Ryback. Now, Kayvon, why is Ryback on the list? Well, because he has released some exclusive news that he will be back in the WWE sooner rather than later. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, we have Xavier Woods, who has competed in the King of the Ring tournament, and he has won the whole thing. So please, ladies and gentlemen, please call him King Woods. Next, we have Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair, she has been escorted out of the backstage area because of a confrontation that she had with Becky Lynch at one point. Then we have The Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys have not heard of Face Off with The Rock in it, well, I don't know what y'all are doing. Y'all should go check that out. Next but not least, the big one, Roman Reigns, who is unstoppable right now. Who can defeat the man? I have no idea. And, of course, I'm going to talk about him later on. But, ladies and gentlemen, that has been the Big Four plus one by your own Tribal Chief, Kayvon Journey.
Thank you, Kayvon.
No problem.
All right, Josh, you want to continue on?
The last thing I want to say about the contract expiring, and I know I've spoken a lot about Kevin Owens, I'm a big Kevin Owens fan. I've been his fan since Ring of Honor. My thing is if his contract expires and he does leave, I wouldn't be upset if he goes to AEW because that's the projected way he's going to go. But I think Impact would be more suitable for him because over there they have a little bit more of an edgier side, and I have a feeling they would be able to let Kevin Owens be a little bit more Kevin Owens in Impact, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Impact seems like it's the spot. Like, Impact needs here well-known, you know, just as good as, you know, Roman and Seth. Omega, they need people like Kevin Owens, Strowman, Bray Wyatt. You know, they really do. And once they
if they when they get those people, their stock, their value is going to go up. It's going to if people is going to tune in, start like, ooh, well, I guess I'll start back watching TNA. What channel is it again?
What, Impact?
Yeah, I was just like, you know, joking. Yeah, I forgot, but I was just saying, people is going to figure out.
I'm bald, but I had a blonde moment. I fought.
Yeah, you know, people is going to try to, find a way, because that's the fun joke. A lot of people don't know about TNA, what channel they are on. So, I really do see that. I agree with you, Martez. Okay, Von.
We let Kayvon go. Are you there, Kayvon?
Yes, I'm here. My bad. All right, so. Y'all gonna laugh a little bit. I'm a little off today, so can y'all refresh my memory and what to see like what we're talking about? My bad.
I said that I think if Kevin Owens' contract expires, that I think he'd be more suitable over in Impact because they would let him be a little bit more Kevin Owens than AEW. Because in AEW. You got CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, the Elite. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't even remember half of the roster of AEW's name because all you hear about are those key people.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I will have to agree with you. I think Kevin Owens would be a best in Impact Wrestling other than AEW. You know, Don't get me started on AEW. But besides that, Kevin Owens is a good fit on Impact.
Yeah, and I think we all in agreement because I don't, you know, at this point, like, AEW should stop signing people and people should stop signing with AEW because if you think you're going over there to be in some prominent spot because you can't be in the big spot in WWE, then you're wrong. So I agree. If I was Kevin Owens or anybody else, I'd go to Impact, and you could be the man there. Like if I was Bray Wyatt, I'll go to Impact, and I can be the man there. So anybody that's a free agent or is getting ready to be released or whatever, I just think MLW and Impact is the place to go because AEW is already stacked with a plethora of people. And if you think you want to be on the top in AEW, it won't happen. So that's my two cents on that.
You guys ready for my second exclusive?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, rumor, and it seems to have some kind of validation behind it, is they're bringing back the old American Badass gimmick, but they're bringing it back for a tag team that is going to be formed when they both get called up. And that's Raquel Gonzalez and that one girl that's married to Dexter Lumis.
Andy Hartwell.
Yeah, there you go. But the rumor is they have been both tested in dark matches as being the biker chicks of the WWE, and the fans have gone crazy for this.
I don't like that. I don't see Indy. I give you Raquel Gonzalez, but I really don't see Andy Hartwell.
I love Indy Hartwell. I love what NXT, how the way they're doing her. I like, I don't see the fit.
You know, a lot of people would agree with you, but if you look at her indie record, she has had more of a hardcore stance than what she has in NXT, because in NXT they kind of made her a spaghetti western comedy kind of person, and when she first came, that wasn't even like a thing. And then all of a sudden it was like, let's make this a spoof of whatever we can make this a spoof of, and they took away, in my opinion, they took away from her abilities of being able to put that persona on by making her too commercial, if I can say that, too commercial.
Mm-hmm. And I hear what you're saying. Now, that sounds like a good, interesting gimmick. Now, this is me booking, y'all. When you said that, I wish, and when you said Raquel Gonzalez, I said, okay. But I wish that this is when I wish Mercedes Martinez was still there. I definitely would love to see her, them two, and make it a Latinx. More like a Latinx chick. Dia, aka Zelina Vegas, there. And this one, Zelina can fall back into valet slash management role and can be a mouthpiece for them.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm just a visionary.
I would have to disagree with you when it comes to Zelina Vega. I think she's finally coming into her own as a, like, her own in the WWE as a wrestler. I mean,
right.
She's got the talent, but I think that if you put her back as a manager, that's only going to take away from her abilities to, again, perform anywhere, because people are going to be like, okay, it's just a good mouthpiece, but I don't need to see her wrestle no more. But people are actually starting to like her wrestling. So I think keeping her where she is good.
I mean, that would just be a fantasy booking, man. Like, you know, if I was, like I said, out of where we talk here on the show, and we always have our 2 cents. Things,
yeah.
Me, like I said, being half considered Afro Latino, would love to see that. For the culture, for the La Raza. That was just, you know, that would be me. Like, okay, we just got Zelina Vega back, and you know, we got, you know, Mami Chica, Raquel Gonzalez, and you know, we got the Boricua, you know, fighter, and Mercedes, you know, them two, pair them together would be really badass. Like, they will rip through the whole female roster, tag team, single competition. I would really love to pitch just that gimmick tag team on them. Yeah, you might have could have got rid of, you know, you could have brought them up with, like I said, Zelina, then eventually as heels, and eventually turned face, and, you know, they got away from Zelina. But I really can't. I have to listen. You know, I'm always, a lot of these, you know, wrestlers, no matter what promotion they on, I'm not always up on. I mean, I do always so, you know, faithful on a lot of these wrestlers' background, what promotion prior, indie, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm always the one to go, you know,
backtrack, do my homework, you know, dig up old YouTube clips of them or whatever I can.
Andy does look like she can got a somewhat hardcore style to her, but it's somewhat I'm not a fan of, especially watching that ladder match she had last week on NXT. It's a good thing that she is in the WWE and right now in NXT, so she can kind of blossom, you know, into a serious, more traditional competitor. And I know she's doing this spaghetti, you know, international comedy type of gimmick, but it really do fit her. I do, you know, at a point want to see her break out to being somewhat a dominant like Rhea. But, you know, you got to get in where you fit in. So, and right now, I think Indy is like a reboot version, and Lesnar is a reboot version of, and hopefully they can, you know, have the more of a somewhat of a face than a more of a, you know, a annoying, you know, heel that, you know, that's got a match and, you know, finish each other's sentence and be antagonizing. So I'm going to have to say I'm not for that thing gimmick.
Can we talk about a mishap and a miscommunication with the WWE and Dakota Kai?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So my thing is you take her off NXT for a while, you put her name in the initial draft, and then you put her back on NXT. They cannot but only diminish the faith of the individual that it happened to. And Dakota Kai has the potential to be phenomenal either on Raw or SmackDown. But the biggest mistake WWE made was putting her back in NXT. Because now you're saying to her, you're not ready for the main roster, but yet you were telling her you're ready for the main roster. That's kind of going back on everything that, you know, you're supposed to do with a talent. So I think that was a big mistake.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I didn't know. Yeah, quickly, I had no idea that happened with Dakota Kai, but I, you know, for a while I've been saying that Dakota Kai needs to be on the main roster. You know, I've heard so many other people say she's not ready, but like her presence tells me that she's ready. She might not be the biggest, unlike the other women, but I think she's ready for the main roster. And I didn't know they made that era of what you said, Josh. So I think it is a big mistake putting her back on NXT. Hopefully it's for a short stint, and then they put a bolster to the main roster. Hopefully it happens that way. But I think her and Gonzalez needs to be in the main roster right now. You know, I don't think there's a need for Gonzalez and Dakota Kai in NXT right now. So that's my little 2 cents on that.
Well, I think me personally, it's the right call. Because right now, I mean, if you would have had Dakota, she would have been in a lot of squash matches and a lot of, you know, she would have been buried. And then to the point, she would be an afterthought to the point, you know, about March or April, she would have been, you know, well, yeah, go back. I think it's just nothing is available for her. They're on the main, and they don't want to keep wasting her time, so they want to somewhat, they took her back to, you know, just, hey, just go back to so you can get more, you know, more promo time and this, you know, so we can see what can we do with you. It's, I have to say, I
I agree with WWE on that call.
Well, Dominic, I feel like they could put her with somebody like Tegan Knox, you know, reunite them and make them a tag team. I feel like that can save her from being buried as a singles competitor. I think they could easily do that. If you don't have that.
Yeah, but what I mean, Dakota Kai took a step in the right path when she broke from Tegan Knox, because to me personally, she didn't have nothing going.
Okay.
Nothing going. When she did that, she changed her look. The girl, you know, the down under girl, cute girl next door image, and kind of, you know, got a little sassy with it, and, you know,
yeah,
and, you know, let him hold a little new makeup and start TikToking, you know. I was like, okay, girl, put my number down, you know. You know, it's like that type of girl. Like, at first you was like, nah, you know, she ain't really, you know, I don't know. But then, you know, that one girl who had a nerve, I had enough, and why, but got that makeover and then, you know, and come around, and he was like, okay, all right, boo. I like the image, you know, of how the way she redid herself, but now she gotta just show me a little bit more. You know, but it's the right call, that's gonna be. Now, like, I do agree somewhat that, yeah, they could bring up Raquel Gonzalez, but I feel like it's unfinished business with her and Mandy Rose. I really feel that there's about three females they need to bring up, three or four. But down the line, Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai and what's her name? They can bring up. They don't have to bring up as a tag team, but single. Caden Carter, Casey Calzera, they need to bring up. Amber Moon and Frankie Monet are the females that truly need to be called up, if you ask.
Here's my thing. When you have the draft, to shake things up. Did the WWE shake things up in the women's division? Because in Raw, you still have Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. And in SmackDown, you still have Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair. So it's kind of like, what did they really shake up?
Right.
I mean, my thing is anybody who may get called up eventually will get buried. Yes, because that's just the way Vince McMahon thinks. Call him up, bury him. The enhancement talent. That's the way he thinks. But Dakota Kai can't, in my opinion, hang and give on and put on a good show with the likes of Becky Lynch or Bianca Belair. Her and Bianca Belair in NXT, they had numerous matches that brought the house down. It's not about the talent of the person. It's the communication, the chemistry that you have with the person you're in the ring with. If you can tell me a story from beginning to end and I'm hooked, line and sinker through the whole thing, to me, that is what WWE lacking, because I see matches with T-Bar and Damian Priest, and I'm like, really? This is what's going to happen. The Damian Priest is going to snap, and this is just the way they're becoming to make him a heel by having him snap after every match. Okay, but you're having him bury the same dude every week. So my thing is at the end of the day, Dakota Kai would be a fresh breath of air for any main roster. I think preferably Raw, but I don't think to the standard of the way she thinks is like she's now got it in her head, okay, I was going to be called up to the main roster, but they sent me back down here. She's probably thinking, what did I do wrong? What did I not do at all? And that's not the kind of mentality you want to have in a professional athlete, whether it be in any sport or any federation. So my thing is calling her up would have been the right idea, would have been the right idea. Because not only do you make it seem like she's for the main roster, but now you make her seem like she's not worthy enough to be on a main roster level when she clearly is, because she's one of the best ones in NXT, next to Toxic Attraction, which we will talk about later.
But that's what I'm saying, Josh. In a way, that's what I'm saying. What my point of view is, go back down there. It's like that, the underdog. Right now, she's the underdog. Go back down there and find the biggest girl, the biggest, the baddest, the tallest girl, and you lay them out and you send a message. And hopefully that's what she's doing to, you know, she's doing and showing the main roster, the writers or who, the producers or the agents that y'all made a big mistake. So by doing this, I'm just gonna go back down to NXT and show y'all what y'all done did. I'm going to lay everybody out now. I hope that she can have that frame of I'm just going to lash out. You know, I mean, that's what Bianca, to me, at a point was, you know, even though she wasn't an NXT champion and she came, you know, she was like at a point where it was really stacking. Everybody was at the point, but for me, I always saw something to her because her style and format and her attitude that she can hang with the best one, with the Dakotas. She can hang with Candice LeRae, Tegan Knox. You know, at the point that was et cetera, et cetera. You know, other females that was at the elite level. That's why I love her when she's like, I'm the roughest, I'm the toughest. You know, home campaign slogan. And she was just, you know, and she showed him every time she got that opportunity. So, I mean, she got called up. She had a few hiccups. She went back down and, you know, kept grinding and then, you know, she showed that she was showing out and she got called back up. So that maybe she can be, you know, learn. Like I said,
right,
Dakota,
right now,
I mean, like I said, she got my attention. I mean, if you would say Dakota Kai 3 years ago, I'm like, nah, I'm good. Now it's like, okay, little mama, just, you know, you got my attention, but show me.
Yeah. Well, I agree, but I disagree. I mean, going back would always be a good thing to, you know, like always honing your skills. But on the same hand, if I was under contract and they told me, hey, we're going to put you on the main roster, and then you're going to tell me, well, we're going to put you back in NXT and Vince McMahon's running NXT, I'm kind of thinking like I'm screwed. That's just the way I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of, I know I'm going to get back to you, Josh. Speaking of NXT, Mandy Rose has become the NXT Women's Champion.
Thank God.
I know.
Oh, sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. That was very unprofessional of me. And I'm sorry, Mama Chica. I totally apologize.
That's funny. What did the three of you all think of her finally touching WWE gold for the first time and winning the NXT Women's Championship?
I'll let them go first.
I think it's about time. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you guys go first.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's about time. Now, it's easy, of course. A whole lot of people say this in WWE. It's easy to get the title. That's the easy part. The hard part is defending it. So now I just want to see how many days will she be champion, how will she defend it, and who will she drop the belt to when that time is due. Because I know, like most of us on here, we do not want another Charlotte Flair, quote-unquote. Sorry, I'm sorry, throwing shade. But that's what we don't want. We don't want – So that's my biggest thing. It's about time, and I want to see what she's going to do with this belt.
Dom?
Yeah, I let you go.
Go ahead, my bad. Go ahead.
No, I'm not saying anything. I'll let you go, Josh.
I think it was the only logical thing to do, because if you look at it, since her debut on Tough Enough, all the way until now, she has paid her dues. And if you guys remember the way I look at things, is it's all about earning your dues, earning your keep. She has paid them. She has gone second fiddle to Paige. She has gone from hero to zero, zero to hero. She has gone through everything that the WWE has thrown at her, and she has done it with grace.
Yep.
Now, NXT Women's Champion, phenomenal. That is where she is going to be able to thrive in every aspect of the way, because that's her brand. Since she's the woman that is the champion, that is her brand. She can now become her own Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair. And the way she's going to do it, I think, is going to be surprising, because I think she's going to be relentless, ruthless. And I think for the time being, she's probably going to hold that title at least until next year's Survivor Series. At least.
Yep.
Because it's her time.
And I don't know, were you done, Josh? Because I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off.
Hold on, you're good. I'm done.
Real quick, I loved everything you had to say. I do want to say this, like, and you guys may agree or disagree, but she's the face of NXT 2.0. Make no mistake about it. Like, the reason I'm getting ready to turn this on at 8 o'clock is because I want to see her. I'm not overly excited about Ciampa or anybody else they got on that roster right now. And it's not just because of her looks, but it's about her story, her grind. You know, things that you brought up, Josh, her journey, you know, this is exciting. I have an invested interest to watch NXT because I'm rooting for Mandy Rose. Yes, she's champion now, but I'm still rooting for her to have a long title reign. And she's, without a shadow of a doubt, in my opinion, the face of this new version of NXT. And I wanted to stop and say that before you go ahead, Dominic.
I hear all of y'all. Yeah, it's her turn. I mean, I was joking. You know, I've joked. Yeah, she is gorgeous. I mean, yeah, I'm going to have to say she's right now the face, but when you still say NXT for a female, I just still don't see it. She haven't, like, pretty much. I mean, she's been on a grind, a struggle, and she's going, but she still haven't mounted to me yet. That, and I know it's still years to go with NXT, but still, when you hear the top females of NXT, Mandy still got a lot of ground she got to pull. Can she be, you know, Can she hold that title? Can she put on 5-star, you know, elite matches now with, you know, Andy, Dakota, Frankie Monet, Amber Moon, you know, Raquel, whoever. She gotta show me. She gotta show Poppy Kulo. She gotta show me. I love her, but she gotta show me. You gotta practice with the priest, baby.
I thought you were gonna say she gotta back that thing.
Hey, this is a kid-friendly show now, dog.
You're right. Oh, man.
Where you mind that, Martez?
Probably the same place my mind at.
I need to repent for my sins tonight, man. Gosh.
I need to go hug my wife.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to get you in trouble either, Josh.
Oh, my God.
I want to take a moment, though, and say, Kayvon, glad you're back, brother.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm glad. It's glad to be back. I mean, I've heard, like, the podcast from last week, and I'm like, man, if only I was on there. I've missed you guys so much. Whew.
Yeah. Speaking of Kayvon, Josh, we actually got a request that Kayvon does the Big Four again before we end the show. So is it okay if Kayvon do the Big Four plus one before the show ends?
As Macho Man says, ooh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am back again, the Tribal Chief, Kayvon Journey, and I am here to present to you, again, the Big Four Plus One. The first up, we have Ryback, you know, the guy that always says, feed me more. Ladies and gentlemen, he have announced that he did not get fired or and released. He said he had to leave because of some medical reasons, but he will be back and better than ever. Next up, we have King Woods, or Xavier Woods. It has been his childhood dream to compete in the King of the Rings and to win it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at Crown Jewel, he did just that. Next up, we have Charlotte Flair. On, I believe, Friday Night SmackDown, Friday Night SmackDown, when you heard Becky Lynch was doing a title exchange, it didn't go as planned, and well, backstage, some things were said, and security had to walk Charlotte Flair out. Next up, we have The Rock, the Brahma Bull, the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment. Listen, he have a new song that's out right now called Face Off. This is his rap debut. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all have not heard it, I suggest y'all go listen to it, because that's fire. Now we have Roman Reigns. He is on a dominant run right now. Y'all see how I did that? Yeah. Y'all catch up when y'all go home. Listen, Roman Reigns has defeated any and everybody that has crossed his path, from his own cousin to the beast, Brock Lesnar. Who can stop this man? Nobody, except for The Rock when he come back. And I don't think The Rock gonna beat him. But that has been the Big Four Plus One. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in next week for another big news. That's a wrap. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. So, what? I don't know what else to say.
Get it out.
Kofi Kingston has came out and said that the New Day is the best faction of all time. That's up for debate. Do you guys agree that the New Day is the best faction of all time? That's my final topic
no.
tonight.
No, absolutely not. No, no. I hate to disagree with Kofi, but I got to. The New Day is not the best faction. No,
Then who?
Who? Oh, I can tell you who before they broke up. The Shield was Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins. That was the best faction in WWE. Then, of course, I mean, we can go on to the Hardy Boys and the, you know, the Ascensions, you know, all those. But I think the Shield was the most biggest segment, or not biggest segment, but the biggest thing in WWE before they broke up. And the New Day, they're trying to be the Shield.
Really? What do you mean by that?
Yes. All right, so the New Day claim to be the best faction of all time, or in WWE. And the reason why I'm saying that they are trying to push to be the Shield is because, you know, we have WWE champion, Big E. If you guys go down memory lane, we had a United States champion by the name of Dean Ambrose. And, of course, the Shield came back on multiple occasions to handle some things. Well, we start to see that in the New Day now, how they will come back on certain times to handle a situation, and then they split back up, just like the Shield did, but except for the Shield stuck together. The New Day, because of the draft, you know, I'm not blaming anything on the New Day. The draft did this. But sometime down the road, the New Day is going to come right back together, probably win some tag team championship gold, and hey, do what they do. But the best faction so far was the Shield, because the Shield was ruthless. They was cutthroat. The New Day, they're trying to get there. Trying to get there.
Ooh.
Dom?
The age frame and the generation of who you have.
Are you there, Dom?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah.
It depends on who you ask the question to, the age frame and the group era. So, when did they start watching wrestling? You're going to get the much younger audience going to say New Day. Yeah, you're going to get some people that's going to say Shield. You're going to go, you got it. You're going to get some people that are going to say NWO. You're going to get some people that are going to say, DX. You're going to get some people that's going to say the Hart Foundation. You're going to get some people that are going to say Demolition. You're going to get some people that's going to say Legion of Doom. Some people say the Horsemen. Some people, et cetera, et cetera. So. You got to look at the other audience. I'm done.
I like when you're done, it just goes silent. We're like, we're waiting for more.
I'm done.
Oh, no, you good? I'm an old school guy. I do like the New Day. I like all the factions that have come and gone. But there's one faction that has always stuck out to me, and
This might surprise some people. It might not. But I have always liked the Heenan family when it consisted of Andre the Giant, King Kong Bundy, Haku, and Ravishing. That was
I forgot to say that one. That was the one I left out. I left out the Heenan family.
That was a great faction, and they were a faction before factions were even factions, to be honest. Because
mm-hmm.
the Four Horsemen were there, but they weren't like as big as the Heenan family at that time. You know, but if you look at it, the Heenan family, their track record, when all four of them have wrestled together in matches, they literally have only lost three matches out of like 60-some-odd matches as a four-man tag team. That's house shows, TV shows, pay-per-views. Now, to me, that's a great match. But that's just my opinion.
Now, Josh, yep, you got me. You got me. I got that one. Yeah, I left that one out. I like it.
You were saving the best for last. You let me take the credit. Thank you.
Oh man!
This time, I didn't want to be like Bobby Brown. I didn't want to be like Bobby and Hog the Mike. So I just gave it back to Rafi.
Guess that's your prerogative.
Oh man. Where has this show gone?
Off the rails.
big time. Now, real quick, we got about 7 minutes to go. Just wanted to put out some information real quick. Don't forget to tune into the Rated R Wrestling podcast every Thursday at 6:30, from 6:30 to 9:00. That's with the Southwest Texan and Greg DeMarc. That's a good listen, so tune in right here, 6:30 on every Thursday. Coming up in January, we're going to be bringing on a few more shows to the platform, so we're going to keep that under wraps right now. There are going to be a few more shows coming on. We are working on getting the studio together so we can do live shows, so that should be ready for December or January. And that's pretty much it as far as the information. I did want to run something by you guys real quick, if that's okay. It's something that I want to talk about briefly next week, because I have my theory on this, and somebody made a post about this particular situation. I'm going to play a clip, and then I'll add to it, if that's okay, once the clip is over.
Most definitely.
Thank you. There's no other fan base like you guys. I used to say this was my yard, but this is our yard. The amount of thoughts, the amount of blessings, the amount of prayers that you sent my way is completely overwhelming and godsend. Thank you so much. I can do anything like that. I can do anything with that type of strength and love, and I'm going to use it to support those who are in need just like I was. Well, we advertise it as an update, so should we get to the update? When I made my announcement, I said that I was going to swing for the fences. We hit a home run. I'm so honored to announce this. I'm in remission, y'all. The big dog is back.
All right, we remember that night, the night Roman Reigns came back, and you heard it. He said he's in remission. The leukemia is gone. Earlier this week, somebody put a post up on Facebook that they don't believe Roman ever had cancer. Okay, I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist myself, and I've always been skeptical of if he really had cancer. Now, that's just me, but I want to know if we can spend some time to talk about that next Tuesday, because I want to hear what you guys think about that, because I have my thoughts about if he had cancer or not, and I'm not trying to be mean or evil, you know, or what word I'm looking for, or non-sensitive, but part of me feel like it was a work. So, can we talk about that next week?
Oh, most
absolutely.
Definitely.
Most definitely. We're gonna talk about that next week.
All right, because this may be a heated conversation, so I want to serve it to next week. But because I wish we could have it right now, because I'm getting started. But I got to see Mandy Rose at 8 p.m. Eastern. Can't miss her. She's the first person coming out tonight. But any final thoughts before we wrap up tonight? Okay. No final thoughts?
I have one.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Next week's subject of Roman Reigns hits home to me as a survivor.
Okay.
I had it 10 years ago.
Okay.
So next week's episode will be, as I like to say to my wife and my family, a hard-hitting show that I will not hold back on.
Wow. Well, you dropped the mic on that one, and I'm ready for it now. I'm ready for it now. And much respect for you for overcoming that, you know, really. But thank you for sharing that. But I can't wait for next week, because we all have our opinions on this matter. This is Wrestle Talking Indeed. We want to thank Dominic, of course. We want to thank Josh, of course. We want to thank Kayvon. We want to thank Steven for coming on to the show. Next week is going to be a hot one. Take care, everybody, and God bless.